How easy it is for us to forget miracles. Forgotten miracles are so easy because they're so natural. They seem to be the ordinary thing. They seem to be that which is natural, just ordinary. Ellen was watching on YouTube a video of a woman who had about 20 cats, maybe. How many more?
Oh, hundreds. Okay. Almost 1,000.
She had a lot of cats. Now, what did the cats do, Ellen?
They were harmonious.
They lived harmoniously together.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do any special treat, any special thing? Okay, so Ellen just loved the idea that these hundreds of cats were living together in this one woman's barn and living harmoniously. And they were just all happy together. They were not aggressive in any way. And Ellen says, my goodness, that woman certainly is able to create a wonderful group of cats. And then we watched another video that Ellen had seen and brought to my attention. And she says, look at those dogs. And so we called up the dogs. The dogs were on YouTube, and there were maybe about 30 of them. And as you sat there and you watched the dogs, they were behind a fence. And they were milling around behind a fence, all happy. They seemed to be all Shelties and Shepherds, but mostly Shelties. And as they were behind the fence, they were just doing nothing. And then the lady on the other side of the fence, you could see her, but you couldn't really see her. You heard her voice more. And then she said, James. And the dog named James came from behind the fence and got his meal. And then she said, Peter. And he came out. Then she said the names of each of the dogs individually. And finally she came to the last dog. And she called him by name, and he came to the gate, and he says, you ready, really? And she says, yeah, come. And he called him again, and he came out, and he got his dinner. Now, Ellen says, isn't that marvelous that these dogs would come when you call them, and that they would come and wait in line for their dinner and eat from their own bowl and not disturb any of the other cats? Any other dogs there? And yes, it was quite a marvelous thing. And Ellen says, oh, that is certainly a wonderful lady. She is certainly a fantastic lady to be able to do that. I said, not really. I said, all she did was to exercise the principle. And the principle was that she expected those dogs to come when she calls them, whether it's for their dinner or whether it's for no reason at all, just to come, as she wants them to do it. And she trained them. She trained them one by one, very patiently. She wasn't in any hurry. She wasn't trying to prove anything to anybody. She was just training them, and she knew they would do it if they had the opportunity to realize that's exactly what she wanted. And so it happened. Now, we had a dog, and the dog's a little mini pin. And he was a nice little mini pin. And we got him for Ellen. And we brought him home, and his name was King. And Ellen set him up on top of her bed as the king. And Ellen treated him as a king, as a king. And pretty soon, he thought he was the king. And he went around running the household. He went around being very aggressive and being very definite about what he wanted. And I said, Ellen, is this what you really want? And Ellen says, no, I want him just to be a lover, just to be a lover, just to be my buddy, just to be a wonderful dog. And I said, well, let's change his name. And so we changed his name. We changed his name to Little Love, because he's a little mini pin. And he didn't care. At first, he continued his aggressiveness for a little bit. But after a while, he realized that we expected him to be a little love. We expected him to be gentle, and we expected him to be what we wanted him to be, a lover. And before we knew it, every cat in the house loved Little Love, because Little Love just did his thing and went by them and smiled at them and was happy with them. And Little Love was a harmonious dog. He was completely what we wanted him to be, because we trained him to be what we wanted him to be. And if changing his name was necessary to do that, we did that. And you all do that. You call your children bad, and they're bad. You call them good, and they're good. You call them loving, and they're loving. You call them not loving, and they're not loving. We watch the Leave It to Beaver program, and we watch how Beaver makes excuses for doing something wrong. And if it would have the proper psychology in the show, they would have the parents teaching Beaver to always say whatever is the truth about what happened, and the consequences were not terrible. They were just the consequences of okay, so you made a mistake. Next time, you know, everything will be in order. But that wasn't something they were teaching him. As good as those kids were, as loving as those kids were, as malleable as those kids were, they were not trained by parents who were wise. They were wise in certain ways, but not in all ways. And who was wise in all ways? That'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Okay. We think that training dogs to come when we say come, to sit when we say sit, to stop when we say stop, and when I walk the path, and I'm walking the path, and Rex is off in the bushes somewhere and having a good time and out of my sight, I just walk ahead, and I don't look, but I quietly say to myself, come on, Rex, I love you. Walk with me, sweetheart. Come on, Rex, walk with me. And Rex, out of nowhere, comes walking with me. Now, there are other times when I feel a little fearful because Rex is fooling around with a snake or something, and I say, Rex, let that guy alone. Come on, you come with me now. And I am worried. And because of my worry, Rex continues to play with the snake. Otherwise, Rex would have dropped it and come with me. I should have just turned around and walked away and said, come on, sweetheart, walk with me. You're a good guy. And if I did that, he would have stopped doing whatever he was doing and come and walked with me. Yeah, we learn certain ways of training our pets. We learn to tell them to come. The more loquacious we become, the less obedient they appear to become. But what we're doing is we're confusing the issue. If I would just say to Rex, come, and be definite and have him come every time I say come, then he would come. But if I don't make sure that he comes when I say to him, come, I don't help him to build the habit of saying it, then, or if I say, come on, come Rex, come with me, come, oh Rex, oh you're such a good boy, oh Rex, hey, hey, hey puppy dog, you know, I get him so confused with what is going on with my words that he doesn't understand and he doesn't know, but if I just am definite, single-pointed, say, come, then it's done. If we say that to our children, come. When we say to our children, come, they know that they're expected to come. And we teach them that that's the rule, and that's the rule. You see a stop sign, and you don't say, I don't see any traffic around, I'm going to drive through that stop sign, I'm not going to let it. We stop at a stop sign, even in the middle of nowhere, because we're a little afraid there might be a cop sitting behind a billboard someplace that we can't see. But you see, we should stop because it is what we've learned to do. We learn to stop. When we were children, we were learning to look at billboards or looking at signs along the road, like Burmashave signs and things like that. And we would read them and we would read them and we would read them and study them. We were learning to quickly read. We were learning to quickly see signs. We were learning to prepare ourselves to be exquisite drivers later on when we were old enough. But meanwhile, we're learning to be observant. We're learning to look around. We do miracles all the time with ourselves, with our pets, with our family, with our friends. And the more that we recognize that we do these miracles all the time, the more these miracles are going to be an everyday affair for us. So today, recognize that you are a miracle maker, and you're a very good miracle maker. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.